When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger. For thousands of appetizing ingredients that inspire countless mouthwatering meals. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices, plus extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week, and up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with points. So you can get big flavors and big savings. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply.
Hey Zedheads, welcome to the podcast. I'm Jason.
And I'm Dina.
And we're going through your feedback for Walking Dead, Daryl Dixon, Season 2, Episode 3, L'Invisible. Dina, glad to have you back on this one. It's always kind of fun to have the same person who covered it come back for the feedback, because I know you got mentioned a couple of times. Got a bunch of complaints. No, I'm just kidding.
Thanks, guys. No. I have a feeling you're going to win the debate about whether the episode was good.
Oh, I don't know, but I don't want to win that debate. I really don't. I tried not to read them ahead of time, because it's fun to respond in the moment, but it's hard not to catch a glimpse or two. And I saw some positive, but yeah, definitely there's going to be some negative in there, which I would prefer that everyone just said I was crazy and they loved it, honestly.
I know. I want you to love it. But if the listeners are right, I owe you a beer next time you come to Boston.
All right. Well, at least that's some saving grace, because I'd rather just be wrong. But I did hear from Lucy, who said she enjoyed our episode, just so you know.
Oh, nice. Yeah. Hi, Lucy.
Okay. You want to go first?
Sure. The first one's from Megan O'Connell. Just here to say, I thought the same as Dina as soon as I saw Isabel. I believe she was bit too. She just looked too sad and not hopeful at all. And I hope we are wrong.
Yeah. What really convinced me that you were right about that is that it explained that weird setup where they couldn't see each other, you know?
Yeah.
So it made me think, oh, no, what? She seemed even sadder than she normally would, just because of the situation of being locked up and the fact that Daryl couldn't see her. It makes me think that's exactly what happened. But I guess we're still not 100% sure. But I feel like sure. I'm 90% at this point.
Me too. You know what I mean? I had a dream about it the other night. Wow. That she was still alive. And I'm like, yes.
Do you remember anything else about the dream?
No.
Just that she was there?
No. She had the drain that she grabbed behind her back.
Oh, yeah.
That's it.
Okay. Ready to...
ready to go.
Cut Losang's throat.
Yeah.
Okay. Lisa Bartley says, Lucy and Jason, you guys are amazing. I can't believe I got the don't get bit this week. What an honor. Well, that's a long time coming, Lisa. Thanks for the terrific pod. As always, it's a double highlight of every week while the shows are on. Well, I'm glad you like the listener feedback, too. It really would be so fun to hang out with you guys. Hope I'll make it to a real-life meetup one of these days. Cheers. Yeah, that would be amazing. I don't even know where you're from, Lisa, but we should definitely have one of those in California at some point soon, because there's a bunch of Zed heads around here that we haven't really met up.
I'm flying out for that one.
Yeah, they just had one in Galveston, Texas, last 2 weeks ago. A bunch of Zed heads got a few Airbnbs and they had a blast. I was having some pretty bad FOMO because they kept sending all these fun pictures of karaoke and swimming in the pool and stuff.
Nice.
And we just did a call-in show last night so people could kind of reminisce and talk about it. And it was really fun. So that'll be on the Patreon feed coming up pretty soon here.
That'll be fun. Listen to. Okay, next up is Nathan Eshelman. Oh gosh, this one's about me. Jason, you read it. I can't.
No, you gotta read it. It's the rule.
All right. It was so awesome to have Dina on the show this week. Thank you. Such an insightful, fun, and thorough conversation with a lot of interesting detours. I devour a lot of stories Henry Rollins shares about his world travels. So when you mentioned him on the show this week, I was stoked. I just wanted to write in and show some support. Dina, I just bought one of your books on Amazon. Oh my God. Oh, I always think it's cool when Zedheads share their creative endeavors outside of podcasting. Oh my God, Nathan, you're kind of making me teary. But yeah. I won't cry.
Nathan, Dina clearly isn't comfortable with compliments, so I think it was really rude of you to write it. No, I'm just kidding. No, that was really nice, Nathan. I agree with everything you said. It was great. Great. Aww. You were great last week.
Well, thank you.
Thank you, Nathan. That was really nice. Natalie Collins says, so when Daryl asks what happened if the test doesn't work, Losang says there will be no reason to go on. Does this suggest a Jonestown plan is in place? That's what I seem to think for me. I don't know if, is there a whole plan in place? That's a good question. I actually hadn't taken it that far, but maybe.
Yeah.
She goes, extremists or something else. Mm-hmm. Aw, Sylvie. Janae laughing at Carol's story made me laugh. I mean, any sentence with sperm donor and insane environmentalist is a gem.
Yes, it was.
You know, I don't support any romance for Daryl, but I do like Isabel. When she told him she loved him and they held hands was a sweet moment. Yeah, Natalie told me, in a chat that she thinks, and I've heard a lot of people say, Daryl's been queer coded a lot of times in Walking Dead. And so they just prefer him to be kind of asexual. So she was one of those that felt that way.
Yeah, I get that. But I don't know. He needs a partner, any partner besides a dog.
I get it, but I don't agree with it. I like it. I like the romance.
I do too. Long time coming.
But I respect it.
Yes. Okay. Gloria Lettery Hernan. I really hated what they did to Sylvie. How dare they? Oh, Carol, you are super smart. Is Gloria from Massachusetts?
Yes.
Excellent. She is. Wicked smart then. I'm surprised Janae believed her. What the hell, producers? Why is it taking so long for Daryl and Carol to reunite? It's not right. And Isabel is telling Daryl she loves him? OMG, the drama. Daryl was sounding pretty romantic there for a bit. Do you think it was foreshadowing her own demise by saying it sounds like a dream? Don't get bit. Bye.
Yes.
Yep.
Yes.
Yep.
Dre Manoni says, I haven't had a chance to listen to the pod yet on this one. Just now got a chance to see the episode. So forgive me if you already discussed this, but it made me so angry. Janae has tortured Codron relentlessly and he won't give up Daryl's whereabouts. He meets Carol and she's like, he's my brother. It's a sign. And all of a sudden Codron just tells her where he is. Bullshit. I think the challenge of telling these stories in six episodes is that the writers are making these shortcuts that really don't align with who we understand some of these characters to be. This was not my fave episode so far. I'm still processing, I guess, and maybe listening to the podcast on it will fill in some gaps. Okay, back to reality now.
You know, I totally agree. The more I think about it, they're reuniting Daryl and Carol too quick, I think, just as fan service and therefore money making. And I think it's just, it maybe even next season, there's no rush, you know?
Yeah.
I don't know.
Well, they're not together yet though, but it seems like maybe this next episode they will be. I haven't watched it yet. But I didn't mention it, but I actually kind of liked that Carol got Codron to admit it after he'd been tortured and not admitted it, because it's all about the context, you know? He doesn't like Janae. He doesn't respect Janae. And so he's not going to give Janae the satisfaction. With Carol, well, actually, maybe I take that back, because I did criticize that, you know, she connected with him on having lost a brother. But the thing is that she wants to find the guy who he thinks killed his brother. So... yeah, because of that, I do think I'm not so sure he would want to give away that information. I'm pretty sure he just wants to kill Daryl, right?
I think so.
Not help him.
But, you know, I think he started changing when he couldn't shoot Laurent and seeing how evil Janae is.
Maybe he's changed his whole thinking on it.
Not completely on Daryl, but I think maybe it's going that way.
But so I don't know if you listened to the episode, but I added a little thing in during editing because I forgot that Daryl actually didn't kill Codron's brother. He just thinks he did. I think he still thinks he did, right?
I think it was
actually who killed his brother? Was it one of those that girl and the old man?
I think it was the girl, maybe. Yeah.
But it was because they were attacking them. His brother was a dick.
Yes. Absolutely. Billy Thompson says, "Hello, hello. I agree with you. This one, Jason, not my favorite. Pacing seemed off this episode. Everything that was set up from the last episode has now happened already. I understand it's only a 6-episode season, but it's kind of annoying. I think maybe as TWD fans, we're so used to storylines getting dragged out for so long on the main show, things get resolved quickly. Things getting resolved quickly feels odd. Another thing I didn't like about this episode was how much I had to suspend my disbelief from character choices to the action sequences." Yeah, you said that, Jason. "A bit of a downer after what I thought was one of the best episodes of the series just last week." I do always appreciate post-CA scenes in TWD, though. Oh, and Daryl telling people to fuck off. I think the next episode will be great. Hopefully be a great opener of the variants ripping through the castle. Can't wait. Thanks, guys. Bye.
Yeah, we're pretty much on the same page. That's funny because, so I just did, you know, I have this Patreon exclusive, slipping a little plug there, podcast called The Zedhead Show, where I bring different listeners on and we cover all kinds of different topics, not, you know, almost never Walking Dead related, but sometimes they are. And this one was, it was with Renee and Danielle. And we talked about our top 5 favorite Rick Grimes moments. And I'll go ahead and spoil that. One of mine was him in the train car saying they're screwing with the wrong people at Terminus, you know, and everything that led up to that. But it would totally be they're fucking with the wrong people if it was now. Because Daryl's just MFing all over the place.
and he started at the last season, too.
Yeah. And it makes sense.
Yeah. Like,
you'd be cussing in the ZA, I think.
Especially him.
Yeah, especially him. All right. My turn, right?
Yep.
Colin Stillwell says, "Hey, guys. Long time no talk." Hey, Colin. "Firstly, I'd like to apologize to y'all for my last email about 3 months ago. Looking at it, I now know why it didn't make the show. It was gibberish." I don't even remember that, Colin. But anyway, he says, "Turns out my body was shutting down due to a seizure and I landed myself in the hospital." Holy crap. Sorry, man. I hope you're okay. It seems like you're better now that you're writing in. "Secondly, thank you guys for continuing the rewatch coverage as I had a few of your episodes to catch up on while I was in there." Oh, that's good. "Well, back to it. I hate to be a negative Susan so far this season, but man, it doesn't quite have the Walking Dead feel that season one had. As we were watching, every scene was predictable. Nothing against Carol, but I think they should have waited another season to bring her back."
Yep.
"Maybe so, yeah. I wanted more time for Daryl to be a Frank." I'm not sure what that means.
Neither do I.
"Though he did teach Laurent baseball. It seems rushed, like there's been more in between the episodes than what they're letting on. But as always, I'm in for the long run, as I've been since 2010. Let's fucking go. Bye."
Colin, I have epilepsy as well. I know that feeling, and I hope all is well, and it was a one-time event. Okay, Becky Fenner Anderson. "I really liked most of this one. I think it's the best episode of the season so far. Yay!"
That was me. 1 point for you.
I think I'm going to owe you a beer, though. "I liked Janae's backstory, and I liked how they put her and Carol together. I haven't liked much of Carol's story arc thus far, but this one, especially the ending of the episode, was great. That was an intense ending, and I am really interested to see how Carol gets herself out of this one. I am over Losang in that storyline. I hope next episode is the last we see of him. I like the action with Daryl working hard to fight off the soldiers to ensure Laurent's escape, but I kept shouting, 'You all, the soldiers, have guns. Shoot them,' when they spotted him. Worst army ever. I hated seeing Issa so defeated, but she looked kind of determined in next week's preview." Oh, I didn't see the preview.
Me neither.
Maybe it wasn't a dream. Maybe.
I mean, she can still be determined and bitten.
True. Damn it. I kept looking at her cheek and wondering if she got bit. I'm afraid she's going to die, but I hope she survives. Daryl deserves some love. I'm glad we're close to Carol. To the Carol, they're meshed. That's awesome. I just got that. Their mesh nickname reunion. And I like that I have no idea how that's going to play out.
Yeah. I'm excited for it too, actually. I mean, yeah. We're just saying, you know, not to rush it, but also I'm like, oh, it'll be fun to see how they are on screen together now.
Yeah. I'm psyched for a Rick reunion. I hope.
I know. I hope that happens. That was another thing we said on our Top Rick Grimes podcast, is that we feel satisfied at the ending of his story, you know, and mm-hmm. we're spoiling The Ones Who Live Now. So I hope you guys have all seen that, but, you know, I won't even say the spoiler now, but that the way it ended just felt like a great ending for him, except the one big loose end for me is that he and Daryl have not been reunited, especially after Daryl spent so much time looking for him.
Yeah. That's going to pay off, that reunion, I hope.
Yeah, I hope so. Erica Price says, here we go, episode 3. I love when they go back to before the ZA to show origin stories. Me too. She does say to Carol that the initial interest was in protecting the art, not the people. So if Janae is all about protecting the people, why does she have no qualms about rounding up lots of civilians just to murder half of them for research? Mm-hmm. These dictators... Their rationale. I still don't understand her motive. Is Lo Sang's group really that much of a threat? Yeah, I kind of feel like that too. I think she just wants everything. She wants to be the sole power in France.
Yeah, I think so.
I really wish the French characters would stay speaking French to each other when Daryl or Carol weren't around. The switching between French and English takes me right out of it. I kind of agree with that. I mean, I totally agree with that. Yeah. Why would they speak English when there's French natives all around? Are they implying that Falou, Isabel, and Daryl scaled that wall to the nest? I don't know. Probably.
Yeah, on this show. Yeah.
She loves him, but in French. What if she never sees him again? I don't really think Isabel has been bitten on the face. I feel like she would have turned pretty quickly. Plus, they're fresh out of zombies since Sylvie was put down. We don't know that. I mean, they had plans on having Laurent get bitten by a zombie. Mm-hmm. And Sylvie happened to fight back and die. So they used her. But if she hadn't done that, they would have had somebody else. So they probably have a stable of zombies somewhere.
True. Or Barnfell. Barn.
Yeah, exactly. And also about her turning pretty quickly. The zombies turn however fast is the most dramatic for the story, or whatever's required for the story. Yeah. Carl can take 2 days because he has to write a bunch of letters. But Beta like kills everybody in Alexandria and then sits there meditating, waiting for them to rise up and be his minions, then it only takes a few minutes.
Yeah. And Jenner said it takes somewhere between so and so and so and so.
Yeah. He's like 8 minutes and 3 days or something like that.
Yeah. I totally agree about the French, though. I think they underestimate the American audience or English speaking audience. Yeah.
I know.
Except we can handle it.
Except Alma Contreras, who hates subtitles, but otherwise.
Oh, no. Sorry, Alma.
She goes on, does Janae really think she's being stealthy if they park there with all their headlights on? Surely they wouldn't make Carol into a super walker, right? Right? They would.
They would, but they won't.
They won't.
Or they can't.
No. No way. Maybe Carol's the chosen one.
They'll
find out. Weird. Oh, wait. She's immune.
No, ooh, that would be a good twist.
I don't know. Then she would have... I mean, she already has plot armor. She doesn't need even more armor.
True. Okay, Mike in Massachusetts. Hi, Lucy and Jason. Episode 3 of Daryl and Carol in Peril really amped up the excitement. He's got peril capitalized. Daryl used every pointy prop within reach to deftly defeat his marauders. Cool use of conveniently placed set dressing. But I couldn't stop thinking about Laurent's Rubik's Cube after so much focus was put on him fiddling with it and then stuffing it in his pocket. Oh yeah, I noticed that too. That was weird. Mm-hmm. Lucky talisman, maybe? I don't know. Would it fall out and alert the nest guard to their hiding place with a clatter? Would it end up in a walker's eye socket when our heroes were cornered? Would it spark a philosophical debate with Lo Sang, opening his mind to the random nature of the universe? Sadly, no further mention of the toy was made in the episode. Much like Chekhov's gun, I'll be very disappointed, dare I say puzzled, if this token of Laurent's wonder and cleverness doesn't eventually become an important plot pivot. That was great.
Mike, that was one of my favorite messages in a long time.
Yeah, that was awesome.
Should write in more. Yeah, and now I really want to see that Rubik's Cube again, for sure. Edwina Morris says, Dina, I had the exact same thought as you on my first watch. Isabel's bit. It's not the wound on her face. I think that's just to signal a big fight off screen. It's the despair. Mm. She's wistfully asking about Ohio like she knows it's just a dream now. She's resisting Losang, but there's no fight left in her. She's trying to say goodbye to Daryl. What a bummer and a waste of a good character. Mm. I really wanted to see more of her and her relationship with Daryl. I've been in Laurent's corner from the beginning, but I really need him to do something interesting next episode. Did he get something special from his birth? Is he special enough to save Isabel? A blood transfusion would be worth a shot if she's been bit. Oh, wait, did Losang force her to get bit to flush Laurent out of hiding? Yeah, I think that it could be something like that, because we saw her. I went back and looked after our podcast, and she was hiding in like a doorway, like a little storage area or something like that, peeking out. And she wasn't roughed up or anything at that point. And then the next time we saw her, Losang's guys were bringing her in with Daryl, and she had that mark on her cheeks. So we don't know what happened in between there. But there were no zombies around, so that's why I think maybe, because I do believe that they have a stable of Zeds somewhere. So maybe they actually forced her to get bitten or something.
Oh,
that would be pretty messed up.
Yes.
Edwina goes on, I wasn't sure how Janae's warfare strategy of releasing a bunch of super walkers outside a fortified castle is going to work. That's a good point. They'd just be banging on the wall. Seems chaotic. Then I realized that it's the perfect setup for Carol, our ultimate agent of chaos. Mm-hmm. Oh boy, oh boy. I hope we get to see her make a big Terminus-style mess. Edwina Eora / Sydney. You got it right, Lucy. Eora is the indigenous name for Sydney. Dual naming more common here as we make tiny, tiny steps towards reconciliation. Hmm. Nice.
Yeah. Wyman Owen says, not sure where to start on this one. It was definitely slower than last week, but part of me really liked it. Yay! Or maybe I really liked parts of it, and the parts were not many. Whoa. Oh. I lost again. Damn.
Maybe that's a neutral.
Maybe. I thought the fighting sequences with Daryl and the castle were well done. It's always good to show that Daryl can still bring it. I also like flashbacks to when the outbreak started. Seeing France all pretty was cool. I guess the only logical career choice after janitor's crazy dictator lady. So that tracks. The biggest thing I didn't like, and I know they are in France, but I hate reading television. Oh no! It took me out of the episode having to focus on the words as opposed to background or facial expression. I realize Carol will say anything to reach her goal of getting to Daryl. But when you are telling lies and getting into bed with the lady who also wants to kill Daryl, shit is gonna hit the fan. Anyways, I hope it picks up next episode. Oh, and when Carol told Janae she was a tourist in France 13 years ago and got stuck, my thought was, and you still haven't learned the language? LOL. Can't wait for y'all's thoughts, even though Jason already said he wasn't a fan. Oh, no, the French again. Au revoir. Is that okay?
Pretty close, yeah.
Woo!
About not knowing the language, Carol not knowing the language, that's probably a pretty good point, right? Even in the zombie apocalypse, for that long, you'd have picked something up.
Yep, absolutely.
All right. We only got a couple calls here this week. Here's the first one. It's from Johnny.
Hey, Jason and Lucy. So, just got done watching season 2, episode 3 of Daryl Dixon. It was a good episode, I thought. Daryl coming out of nowhere, shooting that bow, gave me some Legolas vibes from Lord of the Rings. I don't know why, I just thought about that. But overall, it was a good episode. I'm excited for the next one, that's for sure. It's really building up to something. So, my question is, how do y'all feel about the conclusion of maybe Carol, Daryl, Isabel heading back to the States with Laurent? How do you think their reactions would be to the U.S.? Laurent and Isabel. I believe it'd be fun to see. Maybe for a finale? Who knows? Hmm.
Well, I don't think that's going to happen, but just, you know, to sort of think about it anyway, hypothetical, I think they would probably think it was, I mean, if it was me, I'd be like, wow, this place is not, the architecture is not as good here,
but, yes.
But it's huge, you know, that same thing people normally think when they come from Europe, like, wow, you have so much land here. And if they get a chance to see the natural beauty, like, national parks or whatever, then they would appreciate that. But, the architecture just doesn't compare.
No, not at all. Not at all. Maybe a little in New England. It doesn't compare,
parts,
but you get that old world a little. I don't know.
They're going to Ohio to the Commonwealth. So they're like, this is quaint, I guess.
Yeah. Commonwealth's kind of boring.
Yeah.
It's just a town.
Carly Jackson says, hello, Jason and Dina. I loved what Dina had to say about Daryl's romantic history. It makes it more sad to think that Isabel was bitten. I thought she had a sense of giving up, and I wondered if she was bit, too. I agree with everything Jason said about the poor writing in this episode. I thought the pacing was off, too. I found it infuriating when Lo Sang was talking to Daryl about faith. When he says that if the experiment didn't work, there's no reason to go on. What a slap in the face for Daryl, whose purpose is to make sure the people he cares about survive. Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Yep.
Yeah, I didn't like that either.
Good point.
If Laurent was bit, it would be devastating for Daryl, and for Lo Sang to say that Daryl lacks a guiding principle is so insulting. Yeah. I really liked what you said about Janae being able to detect secrets. That would explain why Carol was so honest with her. I can't believe she put Ash in danger like that. A man with a plane is easy to find, and she just told Janae all about him. That's a good point.
Yeah.
I think Janae wants to defeat the Nest people for the same reason that the governor could not let them live at the prison. She wants power, and a community of people living independent from her cannot be tolerated. I hope the next episode is better. Yeah, I think that there's something to that for sure.
Yep. Bethany says, hey, Lucy and Jason. I started listening to the podcast recently during the first season of the Daryl spinoff, and then decided to go back and do a rewatch of the main show and travel back in time to your first episodes and listen through. It was fun to hear your coverage of things over the years and think to myself, just wait for what's coming in 2020. I'm finally caught up and watching the new season of Daryl, so I thought I'd write in about season 2, episode 3, and say, fuckity fuck fuck, not Sylvie fuck. What a sad way to die in the zombie apocalypse.
This is proof that she went back and listened to the early ones.
Yes, absolutely. I remember that. What a sad way to die in the zombie apocalypse. Also, I feel like I missed something important with Issa when she told... When she and Daryl were chained up... Talking over my tongue. Was she bit? It felt like she was about to hurt herself with that shard of shower drain or something. She was definitely saying goodbye. I also just wanted to say to Lucy, all your Parks and Rec references over the years. I see you, girl. Keep them coming. Furthermore, I too live in the city where someone just shat history everywhere. A bad rephrasing of your hysterical description of York a while back. I'm originally from South Dakota, so I totally understand that feeling when first arriving here. Anyway, thanks for the podcast, friends. I'm also looking forward to listening along with Last of Us Season 2 coverage when the time comes. Yeah, that's going to be great.
I can't wait for that. Yeah. Yeah. Whenever I hear that, it makes me want to start talking about it, but then I'm like, nope, can't spoil it.
Nope, you can't.
Because I played the game, you know, I haven't seen the series, but I know what's in the
it's
game
coming.
Anyway. She said it was, she felt like she was about to hurt herself with that shard of shower drain. And that's kind of, you said either she's going to hurt herself or someone else, right? It's either a weapon or a way for her to kill herself before she turns or something like that.
Yeah.
Yep. Because it reminded you of that scene from season 1 when she was captured by Quinn.
And she tried once before, too, before the ZA.
That's right. Yeah, she had the marks on her wrist. Alma Contreras says, I hate these subtitles. No, I'm just kidding. She says, honestly, I haven't been loving it, but I did like this episode. point to Dina. First, I was very surprised that Janae was a damn janitor pre-apocalypse. Mind blown. I like seeing how different she was to how brutal she is now. Me too. I got a little chuckle when she first talked to Carol. It was like that BZ believe nothing that came out of your face, Carol. LOL. I mean, how could one be stuck in France for 13 years and not pick up a lick of the language? GTFOH. Which means get the fuck out of here. On to our people in Mont-Saint-Michel. Funny how these pacifists are armed to the teeth, huh? Lesang's hypocrisy really showed in this episode. R.I.P. Sylvie. Sad emoji. Yeah. And so Laurent is, quote, special only because they think he's immune. I like that better than the whole Messiah storyline. I think it's both, really. I think they want him to be their Messiah, and being immune just proves that he's special in that way.
Right.
I just don't understand why they think he's immune. In season one, they showed his birth, but I thought his mother died and turned after he was born, right? How could he possibly be immune? No, she turned and then he was born.
Right. They did a C-section, right?
I think so, yeah.
Yeah.
A Z-section.
Anyways, yes. Ha-ha. That was good.
Anyway, I'm with Daryl. He was right to go save him, but dang, now he's stuck. Wonder how he gets out of this one. Oh, and by the way, I knew Carol's newfound friend would betray her. Oof, I almost forgot. Issa told Daryl she loved him. Granted, it was in Frances, LOL. I fear that her death is now imminent. Ugh, my poor Daryl will be devastated. All in all, a lot happened this episode. I look forward to tuning into the cast. Well, I hope you enjoyed it.
Amy from Brisbane says, hi, Jason, Lucy, and Dina. I'm loving the second season of Daryl Dixon. I think each episode is better than the last. I will miss Sylvie, but she was a brilliant walker. So believable. That's because she was fresh. I would have liked to check in with Ash this episode. He's a great character, though. I questioned his perfect haircut while living alone in the apocalypse. Oh my God, it's hilarious. I also felt Carol's storyline a little rushed. But I really love the episode. Like Dina, I think Isabel was full of despair and was considering suicide. Not because she got bit, but because she couldn't face the prospect of torture and possibly giving up Laurent. Just as she couldn't face the prospect of life with Quinn and wanted a way out. I also felt her saying, oh gosh, say it, Jason.
Je t'aime.
Thank you. Was a goodbye. Do you think Daryl knew what she meant? I hope so. He kind of looked shocked at the prospect of someone saying I love you to him in a romantic way. Speaking of romance, Dina, I loved your breakdown of Daryl's love interest in the romance genre. Really interesting stuff. Oh, thanks. Lastly, Jason, a couple of episodes ago, you explained the sound of lightning cracking at the beginning of each Podcastica episode. Thank you for explaining this. I had always thought it was a Coke can or something being opened. Sorry. Funny. Oh, and could not understand the connection or significance. Laughing to your emoji. Anyway, loving your episodes on Daryl Dixon in the rewatch. And thank you for recommending What Is From.
You're welcome. Yeah, everyone, if you're not watching From, I would check it out. It's freaky and kind of Lost-like. And then Alex and Lizzie, who do our What Is From podcast, interview all the actors. And they do like live reactions on YouTube every Sunday night. And last time or a time ago, they had one of the actors on for that. So that was
awesome. Really cool.
But did you know what that sound was at the beginning of the Podcastica podcasts?
I didn't think about it.
What did you think it was?
Static?
Yeah.
Like a static like electric wire?
Zaps. Yeah, yeah.
Yeah.
Okay. Just wanted to make sure not everyone thought it was a Coke can.
It's a product plug.
Yeah, right. We should get sponsorship money. Thanks, Amy. Jennifer McGinley says, this show is a fucking disaster.
Aww.
I think that's a point for me.
Definitely.
I don't want it. No, I know. Every episode gets worse, and I thought nothing could get worse than episode two. Oh, that was one of my favorites of the whole series. It's long gone the way of fear. I truly wouldn't know where to start with this one, and not only because I watched it 2 weeks ago and forget most of it. Been patiently waiting on the podcast because I didn't get what it meant at the end with Carol being pushed over to that group. We didn't really say, because I don't know either. I felt like we're not really supposed to know yet. I think that's a mystery. What exactly they have in mind for her. all that shite with Humperdew being the chosen one. That's what she calls Laurent. I don't think there would be a person alive in this ZA that would believe he could survive a bite and believe it so much that they don't mind murdering a kid to prove it. Mm. I think people will believe anything.
Yeah.
Banners and ceremonies just fuck right off, and I'll never get on board with how in the whole of France, Carol just happened to land so close to Daryl and find folk who knew him in a matter of what, minutes? I'm really forgiving about pacing issues like that because, and shortcuts, because they have only six episodes to work with. So I'm willing to spend my disbelief a lot on things like that. We were just talking about it in the chat. We have a Daryl chat. It's in the Podcastica group, by the way. If you guys, anybody wants, go to Facebook and just search for a Podcastica group. And we have chats for a bunch of different shows, so you don't have to pay into the Patreon or anything. So if you want to talk to people about these shows, but anyway, I kind of clarified in my mind by talking in that chat that I'm forgiving of a lot of logistical things because I think The Walking Dead is more about character. So when it bothers me the most is when the characterizations start to be inconsistent, you know, or not make sense. Then I'm like, oh God, I'm losing faith. But when it's little things like how would the zombies actually be a threat, or, you know, Carol found Daryl too fast, then I'm like, eh, whatever, they have to get to it quick. If they took forever to get to it, then we would be complaining that it was too slow, you know? So yeah, that's how I feel. I know not everyone feels that way, but that's how I feel.
I think, again, the Carol finding Daryl so quick is unnecessary, but I have more patience. I'm willing to wait. So, but yeah, I think a lot happens behind the scenes. So, and you have to think about it, which is great.
Mm-hmm. So, but yeah, I think your complaint is, and maybe I'm, correct me if I'm wrong, but it's not so much just that, oh, it isn't believable that she would find him so quickly, but also that, hey, they could actually have a lot of cool story with just her before they force them together. Right.
Exactly. Exactly. Yep.
Jennifer goes on, I read a review about the episode that used the impressive word verisimilitude, and always looking to extend my vocabulary, I looked it up. Yep, even in the fantasy world of the ZA, you cannot be throwing all this unbelievable shite at us. It's not fair. It'd be like Game of Thrones using Kalashnikovs and sat-navs. They did have a Starbucks cup in there on one episode. We've invested over a decade, and God only knows how much man time into this show, and money, cast, photo ops don't come cheap. We deserve better. Daryl's not even looking that hot at the moment.
And yes, he is.
And there's not even Adam Negatus to soften the blow. Yes, of course, I'll watch to the end in my weird sort of self-harm way, but don't be looking at me to save it for you. It's unsavable. I've edited my comment to come back and say most of the acting is shit. Isabel always looks like she needs a good crap. And the actress seems to only have the one expression, so she looks perpetually constipated. And Humperdew's accent. What the fuck is it? Can't believe I'm totally shitting all over Daryl's show. Season one wasn't exactly Emmy award-winning stuff, but it's starting to look like it compared to this guff. So I feel like she didn't really love it that much. I'm not.
Yeah, not sure. No, I think she's being sarcastic, and she's trying to mess with us.
Actually, loved it. Yeah.
Yeah.
I think you're right. Thanks, Jennifer. Glad you liked it so much.
But he is looking hot. So hush, hush. Lara Willie Swink, who I have to say is doing the best October questionnaires. It's fun.
Yeah, every day she'll ask something in the Zedhead group about what's your favorite, like, fall drink or your favorite scary movie or something like that. So it's fun to think about.
All right. I enjoyed this episode better than the first two, though I agree with Jason that there were contrivances in the story, but in my opinion, not as bad as the first two episodes. Poor sweet Sylvie. First Emile and now Sylvie. Soon France will be void of all its beautiful young people. I really did love these two, and when we met them in both season one, and had such hope for them. Mm-hmm. At least Sylvie will never know that Emile turned traitor. Yeah. Mm-hmm. Adieu? Yeah. Adieu? You say it again. French. Can't do
adieu.
It. Thank you, young lovers. I find Carol's situation interesting in that, like Madison in Fear, season three, the only season that really counts, she has to align herself with her enemy to get what she wants. Though it seems her manipulations don't go over so well when matched with an equally conniving rival. And I guess we find out what happens to Carol when she lets her guard down for one moment to someone as seemingly harmless as Remy. Burned.
Mm-hmm.
I'm guessing she'll never speak the truth again. And I'm so intrigued by Cudrone. Me too. Why is this man who swore to kill Daryl Dixon now enduring extreme torture and imprisonment to keep him and mostly Laurent safe? Is he a true believer? Did he have an epiphany? Please give us more of his story.
Yeah, please. Don't
yeah.
Let us understand that. Otherwise, it seems to me like questionable writing.
Yeah, and he's a neat character. So.
Yeah.
Okay, she goes on to say, my heart is already breaking for the romance that would have been Issa Dixon. As soon as I saw the broken look of despair on Isabel's face as Daryl described how she and Laurent would love America and the fireflies that glowed like Tinkerbell, I knew something was up. She's either been bitten or plans to sacrifice herself. That scene was so damn beautiful, though, in performance and directing. Yep. I don't know if Daryl knew what
Je t'aime
meant, but I hope he got the gist of it. And he better let her know how he feels before they are separated forever, which I do not want, but I can feel it coming. I loved hearing Dina guest host. Thank you. You're so sweet. And loved her analysis of religion, Daryl Dixon, and in Midnight Mass. I'm currently rewatching that amazing series where belief is addressed in such a complex and fair way that I wish this show would have as much nuance. Mm-hmm. And girl, thank you for proving that not only sad housewives read romance novels, and that they have value for those who enjoy them. Hear, hear. I agree.
That's nice. But I think rather than Issa Dixon, the couple name should be Darabelle.
Oh, I love it. Darabelle. Yes, yes. Rest in peace.
Thanks. Thanks, Laura. Andrea Abarca says, hi, Jason and Dina and Lucy. If you're listening, I'm writing about L'Invisible. I was really surprised that Jason didn't like this episode. It was actually my favorite so far. Well, good. Point to Dina.
Yep.
But dang. I can't see how it could seem contrived. But I can see how it could seem contrived, and there were parts that I thought were a bit much. Actually, come to think of it, I really didn't like it. No, I'm just kidding. I'm Daryl fighting on the castle stairs, for instance. I laughed a little because last week Lucy said something about John Wick. Mm-hmm. I do like action movies and Daryl being a badass, but all of that was a bit over the top, and I didn't care much for it. Mm. It's also hard for me because he was just killing a lot of people and not zombies. But anyway.
Yeah, but I think they were the army and not innocents.
They weren't even shooting at him.
True.
I love Janae and Carol. They're the same woman on opposite sides who could have easily gone the other way. Mm-hmm. A yin and yang of sorts. Also, the title L'Invisible. Both Carol and Jeanette were invisible to others before the apocalypse. Yeah. Janae. I'm not sure if that was what the writer was aiming at, but since a good portion of the episode was about them, I thought it was interesting. These invisible women who came into their power. Absolutely. Yeah. I wish I would have hit that point a little harder, but you're right. So the last thing I wanted to mention was Isabel and Daryl. While I'm still not about the two of them together, I thought their scene after they're captured was both sweet and sad. Dina mentioned that she thought Isabel was bit. I also felt that something was wrong. And when they were talking about Tinkerbell, she said, Tinkerbell saved Peter Pan. So then I read a review that went into the whole Peter Pan thing and how Francis Daryl's fairy tale, like the kingdom, was Carol's. And Peter Pan, Tinkerbell drinks the poison to save him. Of course, if you clap your hands, you can save Tinkerbell. But I don't think that will be the case for Isabel. There are also some other parallels, including the fact that Daryl didn't say, I love you back, the way Peter Pan doesn't say it to Tinkerbell. I mean, in his defense, he may not have known what she said.
It's true. I love this whole Tinkerbell thing. Great analysis. But, you know, I think he did kind of say it back in his own way when he said, I found something.
Yeah.
That's the best he can do.
Right. Yeah. And yeah, I mean, I agree with that. I also think, I'm not sure he knew what she said, and if she had just said, I love you in English, there's a very good chance he would have said exactly the same thing that he did say. Right.
Yeah.
But anyway, she goes on, the way Peter Pan doesn't say it to Tinkerbell, but I'm not sure of that. He might have not understood or was maybe afraid to say it. Mm. I don't like Isabel with Daryl, but I do like Isabel. So if this is headed where we all think, I will still be sad to see her go. I just thought the Peter Pan references were cool. Absolutely.
Yep, me too.
Anyway, I could go on, but a lot of other things that stood out, you've already mentioned. Can't wait for next week. As always, thank you for this podcast. I absolutely love it. Well, thank you. That's really nice to hear, Andrea. Love your always writing in.
Yeah, that was a good letter. Pan says, good day. Good day. I like that. Jason, Dina. Okay,
he's
first
Australian.
Okay, first up, he will break soon. If only they knew about the torture Daryl's already suffered. Compared to what Negan did to him, he really is on, oh dear, easy street. It's a one-way treat. No, that's not right. Mm-hmm. But now it's stuck in my head, so thanks, Pan. I like this one a lot better than the last. I like that we got a solid chunk of Daryl Dixon being a badass, and I thought those fights were well choreographed and directed. I also liked it because we finally learned what Lusang's beliefs and intentions with Laurent were, something I brought up the last time I wrote in. It's not massively surprising or unique as a plot twist or anything, but the religious aspect behind it made it very clear that Lusang is acting on faith alone when he intended to have Laurent bitten. I still love Carol. She's nuanced as a character. She gave the perfect truth to Janae and lied to her face the moment she had made Janae believe her. That's smarter than lying to the guy who's flying you to France in his plane. Yeah. I love the backstab ending of the episode too. The promo for next week's episode totally took the suspense out of it, but that was a nice unexpected twist. The flashbacks with Janae were well-paced in the episode and the series. Those parts of her background were super relevant to this episode too, so it was time well spent. Yep, I agree. I'm wondering if at some point between season 1 and 2, Daryl learned enough French to have a basic understanding of it. I'll have to go back through the first few episodes and see if it's there. But I noticed French being spoken around him, like the speaker knew he could understand it. Yeah, that's true. Okay, I think he's about to get to this. Take Isabel saying, I love you, for example. You would think that considering Daryl explained how he finally found something that made him want to stay in France, that he would have at least put in a little effort to learn the language in the time jump. He did say when Lusang came to Isabel and said something like, oh, you come with me now or whatever, or what do you know? Daryl said she doesn't know anything, almost as if he understood it. But
oh, yeah.
Could be reading in.
No, and he knew, like, she mentioned that phrase that means seeing something from a new perspective, de paysan or something like that, and he was able to pronounce that right away, even though I can't. So yeah. At least he knows how to pick up words. That shows that he knows how to pick up words, I should say. Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. This episode wasn't perfect, but at least it felt more like pieces in motion instead of pieces being set up. Anyways, thanks for all your work on this podcast. I listen to new episodes on days when I have a lot of driving around to do, and it makes those drives relaxing and interesting instead of being all hustle and bustle. Great hosts, great community, great way to keep engaging with this franchise as it pushes onwards with these spinoffs. Hope everyone over there had a happy Thanksgiving.
I was just reading this article today about how The Walking Dead at its peak got like 17 million views, and this show's getting like 500,000, although that's same night AMC. It's not considering people who watch it a little bit later. So I wouldn't be surprised if it got up to at least 1 million, but still it's way, like, we're the diehards that are still left.
Yeah. I know. It's kind of a bummer.
It's a bummer, but it's also the audience feels as engaged as ever, if not more, for the podcast. So to me, it almost feels like no difference at all. But I know that the people left are just the really super hardcore fans.
Yeah. But you do get a lot of feedback, and that's great.
Yeah.
And fun.
Yeah. If we didn't get any, then it wouldn't be worth doing, really. Yeah. I'd just pick up a little shard of some drain cover and end it all. No, I'm just kidding. Suicide joke. Ha ha. All right. Rachel, I'm just kidding, by the way. That's awful. Rachel Teal Edwards says, so I realize that mainly why I've been cranky about the season is because I see Carol and I'm like, why are you here? I just don't think we needed her. The show was great as it was, but that attitude won't allow me to enjoy it. So I'm practicing radical acceptance and changing my mindset. And there's a little emoji of a woman meditating.
Good job.
Nice job. I did find the Carol storyline to be more enjoyable this week. I kind of like the scenes with her and Janae. Carol gets a little taste of her own medicine being on the receiving end of some lies and manipulation. That's a great way to put it. So, okay, I think I've moved from annoyance into indifference regarding Carol's story. That's the best I can do right now. Baby steps.
Yep.
Seeing Janae's backstory was interesting, but I need more about how she became this leader of people. Maybe that's next week. Maybe. Sylvie, sweet Sylvie, ugh. I was yelling at the TV. She deserves so much better than that abrupt and wasted end. Yeah, I agree. That hurt my heart. I'm really hoping that the writers don't do the completely predictable thing by killing Isabel before season's end.
Yeah, maybe we'll be surprised.
Maybe, yeah. That would be great. Honestly, the way they're setting things up, I feel like I can actually see the future. I hope they surprise us all. For a minute there, I thought I had accidentally switched the channel to a John Wick movie. Nope, just Daryl brutally murdering one cult member after another so easily it was almost comical. Really sweet scene between Daryl and Issa, though. Tell me a story. I just want to hear your voice. Yes, girl. Of course, Daryl didn't say I love you back. He'll say it as he's sobbing, holding her while she dies in his arms. Oh, God. If Issa dies and Laurent survives, then it's like the Daryl, Carol, and Laurent show. Please, no. I don't need a Carol as a mom redemption story next season. You may be getting just that. Wait, I was trying to be more positive this week. Maybe we're in for some sweet zombie action next week. Looking for
that's gonna be good.
If not, that I'm gonna feel ripped off. Looking forward to seeing how that bit resolves. OMG, is Falou the new Daryl? Hashtag if Falou dies, we riot. Edit after listening to the podcast. Jason, yes, with the lazy writing, out of character moments, and attempts at emotionally manipulating the audience. Carol snuggling Remy, Sylvie randomly dying just to serve a dumb purpose, etc., etc. I've been really tempted to look at who wrote last season versus who wrote this season, because in my mind the difference is stark and I need someone and something to blame. Second edit. I did the thing. I looked at all the writers. While they may have been in the writer's room, episodes 2 and 3 are credited to 2 new writers, not credited last season. David Zabel and Jason Richman wrote much of last season and have not been credited with writing yet this season. However, they apparently wrote all 3 upcoming episodes. The burning ember of hope in my heart just got a little brighter. Me too.
Yeah, that's great.
Yeah, we'll see. Thanks, Rachel. Yeah. Glad you're coming around a little bit. But, you know, whatever. Slowly. If you like what you like, it's totally okay. All right, one more call, and that's from Robin. It's a long call, and it's always good to hear from Robin. So here we go.
Bonjour, mes amis. Bonjour. C'est moi, Robin. Je suis de retour d'Ithaca. So I decided to give you a call. That's about as far as I got with French. I did like this episode, but I was a little torn on it at first, but thinking back on it, I mainly liked it. The one thing that bothered me a little bit at first was the big fight scene with Daryl. It seemed like he was anticipating that the fight wasn't exactly organic, that somehow he was anticipating the people being there that he had to fight. But then I got thinking, he would be anticipating. He's in a very narrow place and he knows they're going to be, you know, with lots of turns, and he knows they're going to be looking for him. So that made more sense to me after a little bit. The other thing that bothered me a little bit was Madame Janae. I'm glad to have some backstory with her. Interesting, but it kind of bothered me a little bit. I think they need more backstory, because she's this seemingly meek little person working as a janitor at the Louvre, and she sees her husband killed in this gruesome way. And the next thing we know, she's turned into Hitler, Mussolini, and Stalin, all rolled into one. And the person who was giving her orders, the woman, is now taking orders from her. So I'd like to see more about how that transpired. Maybe. I know they don't have time. And then there's East.
Oh, I didn't get that. So the woman that called her lazy or whatever, that's her like right-hand woman?
It's the
same woman?
I think it was the woman that was organizing the strike. And Janae said, what's the point? And she said something, just do
it. Oh, her. Oh, okay. She's the one that is under Janae now. Yeah. I mean, I don't know if we'll see fill in more of the blanks there, but what I've already gotten from it is that, you know, Janae, when she spoke about Pouvoir de Vivant last season, it was all about the oppressed rising up and taking over from the elite. And then when we see her backstory, we see that she seems kind of oppressed. She's got kind of a crappy job and a boss who's really mean to her, and her coworkers want to strike, but she's not motivated. And then she sees her husband die. So the way I feel in the blanks there is, we also know that she blames the elite for creating the zombies for some reason, which I would like to understand why. So when I fill in the blanks there, she's just like the death of her husband motivated her to get, you know, to want to rise up and take power over the elite and finally have the oppressed be the rulers. And then she just took it too far and made it sort of a cult of personality all around herself and rationalized that this is what's best for the people, even though she's actually a brutal dictator, which that kind of thing happens all the time. It's very Animal Farm. If you ever read that book, it starts out about all the animals wanting to be equal. And then a certain class rises up and just, creates this dictatorship where everybody else has shitty lives and has to do what they're told.
Yep. And happens on the turn of a dime.
Yeah. All throughout history. Yeah. So here's the rest of Robin's call.
Issa, poor Issa. At first I thought that she had been bitten, but then I thought, no, they wouldn't be just putting her in that cell and walking her down the hallway. Because it seems like it had been enough time where she would be starting to die and turn. But I think that mainly what it is that she knows that she will eventually be broken and will give up Laurent and Mont Saint-Michel. And her heart is completely broken by that. And then of course, you know, Daryl's very badly beaten up. Then she says, "Je t'aime," and he just sits there like a lump, as Daryl would. And I feel like he's been there long enough. He knows what she said. He's picked up enough French to know what she said. And besides, he's been on the planet his whole life. Everybody has heard "je t'aime" at one point or another. You know, it's Daryl. So even with the kiss, he can't quite, he doesn't know what to do. What's up with Caudron? Why doesn't he help her? Why doesn't he help Carol? He's an enigma. And then of course it was guaranteed that the sweet little guy that Carol confided in was going to betray her for Julien. All he's been doing the whole time is talking about Julien and wanting to be with him and needing to find him and worrying about him. So, you know, that was kind of a given that he was going to do that. But I loved the scenes between Madame Janae and Carol. They have each met their match. Although I didn't expect Carol to turn around and say with such utter conviction that I was convinced of it for a second that she was there to kill Daryl. That was peak lie. I'm sure she's not there to kill Carol or to kill Daryl for sure. But then of course I did not see the twist at the end coming. Did not see that at all. I really, just never occurred to me that Janae wasn't just going to send those people to take over Mont Saint-Michel. But obviously, they probably wouldn't be able to. So she is going to do what always works and turn them into walkers. So anyway, I've gone on long, but I feel like I haven't been here for a while, so that's okay. I am so glad to be back. I have listened. I haven't listened to the latest podcast yet, but episode, but I'm so glad to be back. So glad to be calling. And I can't emphasize enough to you how much over the years your podcast has helped me through some stuff. And I actually was in Ithaca going through some stuff again this time. So thank you, Jason. Thank you, Lucy. a biento.
Thanks, Robin.
So that was nice a good one.
Yeah. See, when you guys call in and say stuff like that, then you're just going to get more podcasts. So you brought it on yourself.
Yep. Oh, Jason, you torture us.
Fuels us. But I think, and Dina, you already kind of said this. Yes, Daryl didn't say I love you back, but what he said was beautiful. You know, I really found something here and meaningful. And I think it was still a vulnerable thing to say. Yeah. Of course, a man would say that. But anyway, I thought it was pretty notable.
Yeah, me too.
Threat to untold numbers of citizens.
The people he kills get up and kill.
Are they slow moving, Chief?
Yeah, they're dead. They're all messed up.
This is a Walking Dead cast news update.
All right, just a few things. Couple in the world of The Walking Dead and a couple in the world of The Last of Us this time. So a Walking Dead Instagram page put up this snippet from an interview with Andrew Lincoln. I don't know when this interview happens or who did it because it didn't say, but I just thought it was kind of cute and funny, so I'm going to play it. Here goes.
So if you could play any other character on The Walking Dead, who would it be and why?
Who would I play? It might have to be Shane. Because then I get to actually sleep with my wife.
That's awesome.
She started laughing. He's really funny.
Oh, I hope Renee listens.
I know. That's kind of what made me play it. Because the next Screen Rant interviewed Michael Cudlitz, who of course played Abraham, because he's playing Lex Luthor on the CW Superman and Lois series. I think they're in their final season right now. But they asked him if he'd ever like to return to the world of The Walking Dead. He said, yeah, 100%. We've talked about this before. I love that world. I had a great time in it. I don't think I've had as much fun on a set prior or since. It was a wonderful world to be a part of. And there was talk at one point about something with The Walking Dead universe, the Tales of the Walking Dead, I think they called it. They did 6 episodes of that where it was almost a Black Mirror type alternate universe thing. I think one of the scripts they had and still have is sort of an Abraham origin story. And they've talked about that prior. If they came to me with that and the timing of everything worked out, absolutely. I love those guys. I had a wonderful time doing it. I know there were rumors about that, but I didn't know there was actually a script.
Neither did I.
So I don't think they're going to, I think they're done with that show because the ratings were pretty low. But so this is almost just a sad thing to report, but I would love that.
Yeah, he's great. Although we got a little origin. Didn't his whole family die? And that's why he.
Yeah. Did we see some of that? We did, huh?
Yeah. But still.
Yeah, but still, it would be. I mean, he's super cool, Michael. I did a bunch of panels with him, and he was always funny and super dry. You know,
yeah, the and best he, kind.
I don't know. Let me know if you already knew this, but you know, there was that something about the Bisquick or whatever with Glenn.
Oh yes, right.
Joke about Bisquick went talking about being careful about having kids or something like that, and after that. Michael Cudlitz started some kind of I think he would have people bring Bisquick to the conventions and then he would donate it to food charities or something like that.
That's fabulous. It was a big thing
for a while there. Yeah, yeah. He turned it into a charitable act.
Now I want pancakes.
Yeah. All right. Wait. Oh, what?
Well, I was just going to say it might be breakfast for dinner.
That's a good idea. Yeah, no, you got me one that too. All right, so Gladiator 2 is coming out on November 15th in the UK and November 22nd in the US. It's, you know, the sequel to the Russell Crowe movie from like 25 years ago. It's all, this one is also directed by Ridley Scott, as was the first one. And this one stars Paul Mescal as Lucius Verus, son of Maximus, who was the Gladiator. Co-stars Pedro Pascal, which is why I bring this up, as Marcus Acacius, a Roman general who trained under Maximus. He fights Lucius in the Colosseum, and according to Pascal, he is, quote, a very, very good general, which can mean a very good killer. So I just thought I'd mention that because it's coming up and it has Pedro Pascal in it, and we like to follow whatever he does.
Mm-hmm.
He's a busy guy. I'm looking forward to him playing Mr. Fantastic in the Fantastic Four movie next year.
Oh, I didn't know he was doing that. Maybe yeah. I did. That'll be fun.
And it's him and it's Joseph Quinn, who was in Stranger Things, the Eddie, the guitar playing guy. He's Johnny Storm, you know, Human Torch. And I don't know his name, but the guy who plays Richie in The Bear. You ever watch The Bear?
Oh, yes.
Yeah,
just finished
the,
it.
The cousin, you know, who's, I think, a total dick a lot of the time. Anyway, he plays the Thing. So it's a great cast. All right. Speaking of The Last of Us, The Last of Us Part 1, the game, is now available to play if you subscribe to PlayStation's gaming service, PlayStation Plus, in the extra tier. I imagine anyone who's a dedicated enough PlayStation fan to have that probably already played The Last of Us a long time ago. But anyway, there it is in case it's useful to anybody. And last, PlayStation announced this thing that's happening called PlayStation The Concert World Tour in 2025 and 26, featuring music from The Last of Us, God of War, Ghost of Tsushima, and Horizon. And if you've played games lately, you know that music is as big a part of the experience as it is with movies and shows. And I especially love Gustavo Santaolalla's score in The Last of Us games and TV show, and that guitar plucking and kind of Spanish sounding. It's just really moving and beautiful. And Walking Dead composer Bear McCreary did the music for God of War. I don't really know that. I haven't played that game, but thought it was notable. So this global tour launches with a world premiere April 19th, 2025 in Dublin, Ireland, before heading to more than 200 cities across Europe, the United Kingdom, and the United States and beyond. I don't know where else they're going, to the moon. I don't know. But for more information on tickets and all everything else, tour dates and stuff, you can go to PlayStation.com/theconcert. So I bet you some listeners might like to go to that. I would. I might look for it around here.
Yeah, especially Bear McCreary. I like him.
Yeah. We went to, oh, shoot. I just forgot his name. The composer of the Game of Thrones, Raman Djawadi. He did a concert at an arena close to here. It was, he was actually there and had a whole orchestra playing through different songs from Game of Thrones, and it was magnificent. It's really cool.
We like seeing John Williams.
Yeah, right.
Perform. I'd love to see that. Yeah. Amazing.
I also got to see, oh God, the guy who did The Lost, Michael Giacchino, play through a bunch of those songs. And did you ever watch Lost?
Oh yeah. I told you I'm doing a rewatch, but.
Oh yeah. You told me. Yeah. That, I feel like the music elevated that show for sure.
It added to it. Gosh. Mm-hmm.
So beautiful.
That one, sorry, I'm rambling now. The Newton Brothers from Hill House.
Oh, yeah.
Stunning music.
All right. That is our show, episode 605. Thanks for listening, everyone. Thank you, Dina.
Oh, thank you. This was so much fun.
I appreciate it. Yeah, good. Me too. I had fun too. Next episode is Walking Dead, Daryl Dixon, season 2, episode 4, La Paradis pour toi, which means a paradise for you.
Oh, maybe she won't die. Maybe.
Or maybe she'll go to paradise. No, that's
not. Oh, damn. If you want to write in or leave us a voice message about it, you can find all our contact information at podcastica.com.
And of course, while you're there, check out our other podcasts. I see David just put out another episode of Sportscastica. I think that makes three. The show notes say football looks quite a bit different than it did a few decades ago, but most of today's teams sure look similar to each other. How has offensive strategy changed over the past 50 years? How have defenses adapted? And how do play callers keep their edge in this era of wide open football? Legendary Oregon defensive coordinator Nick Aliotti and former NFL wide receiver Greg Camarillo helped David, Staggy, and Greg understand the ins and outs of modern football schemes. So I'm not a huge sports fan, but this sounds interesting to me, and I'm going to go listen to it and see, you know, how these podcasts have been going, how David's been doing on these. But if you are a sports fan, you should totally definitely go check it out.
Yeah, I was just going to say that, not a sports fan at all, but the history, what he seems to be doing with it.
Yeah.
Right on.
Really unique take. I love
it. Yeah. Yep.
Also, this episode's made possible by Patreon supporters like Faye in London, who've pledged their support at patreon.com/JasonCabassi. So thanks so much to Faye. I mentioned yesterday I recorded our top five Rick Grimes moments with Danielle and Renee, and also we did a call-in show where Zed Heads, who just had this vacation getaway in Galveston, Texas, talked about how much fun it was. So we do stuff like that pretty much every month, if you're interested. All right, that is our show.
Thanks for listening.
Don't get bit, Edwina Morris.